now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back. You are tuned into the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. No, that was not me doing the yes, sir. That was my daughter, Marley. She loves doing the yes, sir. And, you know, over here at the Commissioner's Conversation, it's a family business, you know. So we like to have fun and take care of each other. And she enjoys doing the yes, sir. And you know what? I let her do it. But welcome back. How's your weekend been going? Everything going pretty good? Yep, everything's been going fairly well on my end also. Quick update. I had a chance to be on the Rashad Richie Show this morning. And we had a good chat, man. Had a good talk. We talked about Atlanta. We talked about the Braves. We talked about the voting bill that was passed. And we just talked about sports. We talked about politics. And we chopped it up real quick. I had a good segment on with Brother Rashad. And I enjoy speaking with him every time I get a chance, because it's always good to have a conversation with smart people. And I say that because, you know, a lot of times I'm out at different places and at a barbershop or at the mall, at the sports bar, wherever, at a restaurant, wherever I may be. And a lot of times people talk sports. And because I'm always wearing a Falcons hat, Braves hat, something, I'm always wearing something sports related. And so people will come up to me and start talking sports. And sometimes I'll just let them say their piece. And my son or my daughter will look at me and be like, "Dad, why you ain't tell him that he was wrong? Or why you didn't tell him that blah, blah, blah?" And I'm like, he didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, a lot of times I don't feel like it's my job to correct idiots. And if I happen to run across some idiots and you're talking crazy and you're trying to convince me of the nonsense that you're talking, I'll just let you talk. And I'll just let you go, because if I say something to you, and usually that's how it starts, I'll usually say, "Hey, man, you know, I don't think that's right. Here's what it is." I'm like, no, man, I'm telling you. Here's what such and such said, and here's what I saw. This is what I know. I've been doing it, you know. And when people go start telling you that, I just let them go. So it's good to have intellectual conversation. You know, I have intellectual conversation with my friends, in my inner circle, and we talk and we chop it up and we laugh about all kinds of situations with sports. And when I get outside of that circle, I'm very selective about who I give my opinion to and who I actually entertain in terms of sports. But, you know, you know, that's me going off on a tangent, letting you peek in behind the curtain. And that's not to say if I don't entertain you or I don't go back and forth with you that I think you're an idiot, by the way. That's not what that is. So, yeah, I'm just letting you know that I enjoyed myself on the Rashad Richie Show. We had a good talk. If you have not tuned in to the Rashad Richie Show, I encourage you to. He's on 1380 WAOK. He's doing the morning show. And he's all the way live and all the way real with everything under the sun that you need to know. Politics, sports, pop culture, whatever it is, however it concerns you, because it's everything that deals with us as people. So check him out, tune in, and if you get a chance, go back onto WAOK, I think it's on Odyssey, and check out the interview with me, the Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon.
So this week, and this episode of the Commissioner's Conversation is brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey. And it's getting warm outside. Everything's opening up. People can't wait to hit these day parties, to hit these patio parties, these backyard parties. So ladies will be out wearing sundresses. Fellas will be out wearing brims and smoking cigars or whatever, being fly and fresh. And if while you out here being fly and fresh, you enjoy you a nice drink of Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey is more than just a drink. It's a movement. Be a part of the movement. It's also a celebration. We out here, we made it, man. We haven't, I won't say we survived, but you've made it this far. You should celebrate. And you should celebrate with Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey is a celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
This week on the Commissioner's Conversation, I want to talk to you about kind of some leadership. The thing began to be the theme of it as I was going through what I wanted to talk about. So I want to talk about Alex Rodriguez being a part of an ownership group to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll get into that. Also, I want to talk about Eddie George being named the Tennessee State Tigers head football coach. We'll get into that. And from there, we'll just go around the NBA and we have some news and notes on what's going on. So, first things first, I want to jump in on this Eddie George situation. And if you don't know, Eddie George, former running back and Heisman Trophy winner for Ohio State, he's also played for the Tennessee Titans. They went to the Super Bowl. They did not win the Super Bowl, but he had some hellified years. He's a great, I think he's a Hall of Famer. But Eddie George was a great running back. I mean, if he was playing anybody other than the Baltimore Ravens, that beast. I mean, I just say that because Baltimore had his number. You know, he had his battles with Ray Lewis, and Ray Lewis got the best of him most of the time. But neither here nor there in terms of what's going on with Eddie George and the Tennessee State Tigers. Well, Eddie George has decided that he wants to coach. And according to the story, it's basically like, I think he's friends with the president of Tennessee State. And she had been trying to get him. She had been, you know, coming at him for a couple of weeks, like, what do you think about coaching? What do you think about coaching? And at first he was like, no, I don't believe that I should be doing this or whatever. But then all of a sudden, he took a notice to what Deion was doing over at Jackson State and how he brought them to the light and how he was doing incredible things for Jackson State and the city of Jackson, Mississippi. And he thought to himself, well, maybe I can do those same things over here in Nashville at Tennessee State. And he said he chopped it up with his wife and she said go for it and gave him the green light because he's had his hands in a bunch of different things. Because like I said, I did a little research on Eddie George and I see he has some acting experience. And I see he's been a football analyst. I see he's been doing some good business. He's a good businessman. But I don't see any coaching experience at any level. Like, it's one thing to say that you're going to be a head coach. And like with Deion, we were like, well, Deion didn't really have any head coaching experience. At least Deion had done it at the high school level for a few years. So Deion had a chance to get his feet up under him and understand his coaching style. Understand how he's going to talk to people. How he's going to deal with certain people. He's dealt with a bunch of different attitudes. You know, to be a coach, you have to manage people. And so they're going to be kids who are going to go out there and they're going to bust their ass no matter what you do, no matter what you say. You can say do it and they'll run through a brick wall for you. And they're going to be guys you're going to have to motivate. And when I say motivate, you have to learn how to motivate that individual because you can't say the same thing to this guy that you can say to that guy and think that it's a motivational speech. If you say the wrong thing to player X, he might shut down. But if you say that same thing to player Y, he might put it on his back and go out of his way to prove you wrong or to prove you right, and put a battery in his back and he go off and he do what you wanting him to do. But to come in with no head coaching experience at all, that concerns me. I get it. It's the name Eddie George. He's a heavy hitter around Tennessee from his days with the Titans. And you think that that will bring in the recruits that are going to be needed to turn the program around and to put some more W's up on the board. But I don't believe that coaching is something that you just have to try. You're going to try to be a coach. Because you're playing with young men's lives. These young men depend on you. And that's the reason that most of these coaches have long resumes. Because you have to be able to see what you're good at. You have to establish a philosophy. You have to establish a style of play. You have to establish your coaching style, like I mentioned before. And then on top of that, you have to establish a network of other coaches that you can trust. Other coaches that see your vision. Other coaches that share your vision. And other coaches that can pick up where you left off. Because sometimes I can come at you as a player and I can start screaming at you. And then I can have a position coach or I can have another assistant come along and be the good cop. So you can play good cop, bad cop, one way or the other. But if you don't share the same vision that I share, you don't share the same philosophy that I have, then if I'm bad cop to this kid and you just leave him out there, bad attitudes develop. If you don't come in and put your arm around and say, listen, man, this is what coach wants you to do. When he says this, he means that. He yells at you because he sees something in you, whatever. But it's that type of relationship that you build with other coaches as you're moving up and gaining your experience. But I am encouraged that many former professional players, they want to get into head coaching. They want to get into coaching and they believe that they found an avenue with HBCUs to become head coaches, because this may be the worm turning to where we said years ago, well, what if a lot of the top recruits started going to HBCUs instead of some of these big time, what we consider big time universities, instead of these UGAs and the Texases and the Florida States? What if they were going to Florida A&M, they were going to Jackson State, and they were going, you know, to these HBCUs, they were going to the Hamptons and the Howards? This may be a shift. Now, I don't believe that shift will all the way turn, but this may be a shift, a little small shift in power, and it may be something that the NCAA will need to address come sometime down the line. But what I do want to say is, while I am encouraged that a lot of these former players want to coach, it does worry me that possibly there may be an instance where some more qualified head coaches get passed over because you have a bigger name. A former athlete is a bigger name than this dude who was just the wide receivers coach at small town U. It happens. It happens everywhere in coaching, where a more qualified guy sometimes get looked over. And the reason why I say and I express that concern is simply because this. I was reading an article in USA Today, and basically they talked about where Deion Sanders was basically talking about his experience. He's enjoying his experience at Jackson State. He's really dug in. He's in the community. He's got the young men in the community. He's become a part of Jackson, Mississippi. He's going to places to eat and going to places, people's homes to eat. He's going all kind of, you know, he's having people cook food and bring it to him, to the practices. He's doing all sorts of things, and he's taking this serious. He doesn't appear to be, I'll say, he doesn't appear to be a fly-by-night coach where he's rah, 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 I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, until something better comes along. It appears that he's dug in and he's possibly in it for the long haul. Now, I can't say, you know, if Florida State comes calling or if someone, another big time school comes calling, that he won't be well within his rights to just say, okay, I'll go take the bigger job. But for now, his priorities are Jackson, Mississippi, and he's enjoying himself there. Well, like I said, other players are seeing it, and he's saying that there are other players that are calling him, talking to him, and telling him that they'd be interested in coaching. A couple names he mentioned, you know, his guys that he always talked to, was Ray Lewis and also Ed Reed. Now, I know that Ed Reed has done a little coaching with, I believe it was the Buffalo Bills. He was the DB coach for the Buffalo Bills. I know he coached some high school stuff with the Under Armour game. I think he and Dion had gone against each other. Dion was the coach at the Under Armour All-Star game, and Ed Reed was the opposing coach at the Under Armour All-Star game, and they coached against each other. And so he did some of that. And I believe he has a position now at the University of Miami. And he's basically chief of staff. I don't know what that entails, but he's chief of staff at the U. But Ray Lewis, I haven't heard of him coaching anywhere, any place, any school. Not to say he isn't doing it, but I haven't heard of him doing it. And see, that's what I'm saying. It goes back to my original point of I don't want some of these guys, a guy like Ray Lewis, to jump the line because he's Ray Lewis and because he's a hot name. And then you got, you know, John Smith over here who's worked, you know, 15 years trying to get up through the ranks to try to get a head coaching position. And he gets cut short because we want the splash of Ray Lewis. But I'll circle it back just to basically say it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out for Tennessee State. And I wish them the best of luck. I wish Eddie George the best of luck. And like I said, I'll be watching and I'll see how it turns out.
Commissioner Gordon.
While I'm talking about Dion, DJ Reese Boogie hit the intro to I Told Y'all, and my bad. It's time for
y'all right, all right, all right. You was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all, y'all better believe it.
Well, I got a couple of my bads in this scenario. One, I'd have to say my bad on this whole Jackson State Coach Prime Deion Sanders thing, because I've taken a very keen interest to see what Jackson State was going to do. And I thought with some of the transfers, I thought with some of the players that Prime had recruited, I thought that they would come out here and tear the SWAC apart. I thought he would dominate. I thought he would come out and put his expertise and sprinkle his sauce all over the Jackson State Tigers, and they would do their thing and they would be undefeated and everyone else would have to catch up. Not the case. Not the case at all. I watched the first three games and they won. You know, they won a couple by a large margin. They had a couple. They had, I think, the Grambling game. It was a great game. It was a back and forth game. And then I watched them lose three straight. So, I'm here to say my bad. They're not going to come in and dominate. They haven't come in and dominated. And I will say, from watching these games, it's some pretty damn good football players at these HBCUs. And I'll just mention the one, Jackson State just lost to Alabama A&M. And Alabama A&M has a hell of a quarterback named Akil Glass. And he's a pro prospect. He's 6'5", like 215, somewhere around there. And he made every throw that was asked. Up against Deion's team, up against Jackson State, the man threw for 6 touchdowns and damn near 500 yards. Yeah, he was putting it up. So I would say, my bad, I thought Coach Prime would come in, do his thing, and dominate, and that has not been the case. Also, my bad. I had got out here when LeBron got hurt. I basically told you guys that I thought the Lakers were going to slip. And the Lakers were going to slip and maybe slip all the way down to the bottom of the playoff bracket. And that hasn't happened. They're currently in fifth place. They're in the fifth seed. And the way the schedule is shaking out, man, they've hit a somewhat of a rhythm. They've been holding their own. The way the schedule is shaking out, if they can hold off, I think they said Anthony Davis is coming back in about 10 more days, and then LeBron should follow suit shortly thereafter. And if they can hold off, man, they can keep in that fourth, fifth, sixth range, they'll be pretty good come playoff time. They'll be good to go with a healthy LeBron and a healthy Anthony Davis, now, and also with Andre Drummond. But I thought that, you know, the others were pretty terrible. Like, I didn't believe the THT hype. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I'm not sold on what you can do. I mean, you can hit a few jumpers, but he's played well. Andre Drummond has come in, and he's done what has been asked of him once he's gotten acclimated within the team. And, you know, I didn't believe, but I am a believer. You know, I can see what they have going on, and I apologize. My bad. In the same sense, I do want to also say, I told y'all, we talked about this last week when Kevin Durant got into it with Michael Rapaport. And I told you, Kevin Durant wasn't all the way clean. Kevin Durant is a little sensitive. Kevin Durant does bring some of this stuff to him, on himself, in social media by trolling, by having ghost accounts, you know, fake accounts. And basically, he's at it again. Shannon Sharpe has, you know, if you watch Undisputed, you know Shannon Sharpe rides for LeBron, and apparently he's been using this quote where basically he says something about KD has implied that everyone looks at LeBron as the GOAT, but he beat LeBron twice in the NBA Finals, so what does that make him? And so KD comes out and he's just like, hey, man. So it basically starts when he says, hey, y'all drunk uncle out here lying again. When did I say that? And then he tags him at Shannon Sharpe. And they go back and forth. And Shannon Sharpe basically says, I'm not going to do this on social media, whatever, whatever. You know, you can hit me. You got my number, whatever. And he's like, nah, you make them dumb statements out in public, we can have this conversation in public. It doesn't have to be that. So he's going back and forth with Shannon Sharpe. I don't understand why he couldn't just let the stuff go. He could have said, I never said that, and just let it go. But he kept it going. I have the quote here where basically, apparently, he's supposed to have told the ETC podcast. I'm not sure who that is. But it says, people try to discredit my rings, But honestly, I feel like they're the most valuable of our era. People argue LeBron is the GOAT, but if I beat him in back-to-back finals, then what does that make me? And, I mean, that's... I don't know. I don't talk to Kevin Durant, so I don't know if that sounds like something that he would say. I have no idea. But I do know that if you were misquoted, you can simply say I was misquoted without attacking Shannon Sharp. Because if you attack Shannon Sharp, Shannon Sharp has a microphone that he sits in front of tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? The guy with the mic never loses. You ever tried to go back and forth with a comedian when he's on the mic? You're going to lose. Because your joke could be the funniest joke in the world, but no one's going to hear it. The people in the back don't know what you said. They know what he said. People aren't following you. Everyone's not following you on Twitter. Yes, you have millions of followers, but everyone's not following you on Twitter. People are watching clips of Shannon Sharp say whatever it is he says about you. I don't know the ratings, but I'm pretty sure Undisputed has a pretty decent rating. It has a pretty decent following. And all you're doing is you're giving the show momentum, because now people are actually going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to go straight to their television if they have the chance and see what Shannon Sharp is going to say about you tomorrow. And now, assuming Shannon Sharp is not one of these guys who's going to go out here and slander you and bash you live on television, he could, but I'm assuming he's not that type of dude. You ought to be thankful because you attacked the man. You attacked him. And I'm sure I'll see the clips, but I'm sure he'll take the high road and he'll just encourage you to come to the show, of which you probably won't do. So if you're not going to set it up to where you're going to be on the show and that you can go back and forth with him face to face, live and in person on television, if you're not doing that, if that's not the end game, then why say anything at all? Why not just leave it at, I didn't say that? And then you can say, at Shannon Sharp. Then you can tag him. And let it go. But I will say, I told y'all, because I told y'all Kevin Durant isn't clean in this whole situation. I just understood at that particular time where he was coming from in the situation between him and Michael Rapaport. And I'm not going back into it and rehashing that situation. But I understood. But KD, put the damn phone down.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, around the NBA, Alex Rodriguez has been linked into a group along with billionaire Mark Luhr, and it says they're closing in on a deal to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves from current owner Glenn Taylor. And from what I was reading, man, everything seemed to be positive and talked about how Alex Rodriguez was going to bring some notoriety and some flash to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And people believe that his celebrity ownership could give him a shot in the arm and turn the team around. But I don't know if you've been paying attention to the NBA, man. It ain't that damn easy. Like, the Timberwolves have a young, talented team. You know, you got Anthony Edwards, who's probably going to be the rookie of the year. You got Karl Anthony Towns, who's dope. I mean, he's had a couple things going on with him. But he's getting his legs up under him. He's catching the rhythm. I mean, you got D'Angelo Russell, who's there. I think he was injured a little while before, and he's back now. But as it stands, the Minnesota Timberwolves are currently 14-40, and they're tied for the worst record in the league with Houston Rockets, and they're probably going to have another high draft pick. So whether it's Kay Cunningham or whoever, Jonathan Kuminga, whoever's coming out, whoever they want, they'll probably get a shot at having them. And so they'll have another piece. But having Alex Rodriguez has nothing to do with the team turning around. Nothing at all. How? And someone asked me, like, how much could a change in ownership actually do for certain teams? Well, sometimes it can mean a lot. Sometimes an owner, you have an owner who's cheap and they only spend just enough money that's required by the league so that they can get a return, so they can get the profit that they want out of the league. But most of those owners have kind of been pushed aside. They've kind of gone to the wayside. I'm sure you probably have one or two owners that may have that mind frame if you dig into the books or you actually get in a room and get them talking truthfully. But most of these owners that are in the NBA now seem to want to win. They seem to be some type of competitor. They've been winners in most of their lives. Basically, that's how they got their millions and billions of dollars, by being competitive and pushing whatever product it is or whatever service it is that they had ownership of to try to make it number one, to try to get their revenue up. And to do that, you have to compete with other products. You have to compete with other companies. And so in that spirit, you bring that over to the NBA and they want to be competitive and everyone wants to win a championship. But how do you flip a team that has been at the bottom consistently and make them a title contender? You want the short answer? Luck. Yeah, that's it. Luck. You have to get real lucky with a draft pick. You got to get lucky with a draft pick and hope that he can do for your franchise something similar to what Giannis Antetokounmpo has done for Milwaukee. When you think of a franchise that may have been lackluster, I think Milwaukee fits that bill. And Giannis has basically single-handedly, they put a little talent around them and they try a lot every year, but Giannis has catapulted them to the top half of the East. He's won a couple MVPs. He's getting notoriety around the league. And I'm sure he's selling a lot of jerseys. And that's bringing more money to your franchise. That's bringing more eyes to your franchise. But you still have not won a championship. You still have not been into the finals with Antetokounmpo. That's one example. Like, that's one example of being lucky. Another example of being lucky with your draft pick is LeBron James in Cleveland. You got lucky. Shaq in Orlando, you got lucky. There have been tons of big guys get in the league, flame out. Shaq could have been one of those guys who got a check and just got fat and didn't live up to the hype. Orlando got lucky. Well, essentially, the Lakers got lucky because they were the one who benefited from it. But it put Orlando on the map at that time. And once you get lucky with a guy, then you have to do what it takes to keep him in the building. To keep him, you have to sign him to a long-term deal. You have to keep him wanting to play for your franchise. And then after that, you have to hope that other players gravitate to that player and want to play with him. Because, yes, you can do all the great drafting that you want to do, but if you're not good in the free agent market, then your draft picks will only go so far. And the Hawks find themselves in that position right now. You got Trae Young right here, who's a guy who clearly can be an all-star. He was an all-star last year. He didn't make the all-star team this year, but he's an all-star. And now what the Hawks are doing are trying to put pieces around him. They traded for Clint Capella. Clint Capella seems to be working out. And they're trying to reach out to free agents to put together a team that could possibly contend for a championship. Charlotte is going to have to do the same thing with LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball has taken the league by storm. He's shown that he's a hell of a player. He's shown that fans are going to love him. He's going to fill up the seats. But players are going to have to want to play with him. They're going to want to come and share the basketball with LaMelo Ball if the Charlotte Hornets are going to be a competitor, if they're going to be a top-tier franchise. Ownership can help with the signing of players and winning over a few free agents, but don't think just because we have a star that others will follow and that you'll be a destination spot. It doesn't happen. Once again, I referenced Giannis Antetokounmpo. Ain't nobody trying to go to Milwaukee, dog. And honestly, wasn't nobody trying to go to Cleveland. That's why LeBron had to leave to go to Miami. Because Cleveland isn't a destination spot. And ownership wasn't helping LeBron at all. Portland has been in the same boat with Dame Lillard. Like, Dame is a dope-ass player. There aren't many players talking about they want to go to Portland. New Orleans and Zion and Brandon Ingram, they're going to have to figure out how to keep how to keep B.I., how to keep Zion. They're going to have to figure out how to keep those guys and then add on around them to become a championship contender. Same with Boston. I mean, we've been talking for years now about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and their abilities and the things that they can do. And they've added pieces. They've added players. They added Kyrie. That didn't work. Gordon Hayward. Al Horford. Don't look like it's going to work with Kemba. See what I'm saying? Like, there's no formula for this. You can do all you want to do, but that doesn't always equal up to the championship. How long ago was it that Philly told us, trust the process? And they were tanking, and they were tanking, and they were tanking, and they were stacking draft picks, and stacking draft picks, and drafting guys after guys. And in the end, they wound up with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And while they're a good team, do you really consider Philly to be an NBA Finals contender? Meaning, can they get out the East? Not can they be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you see them getting out the East? You have to get lucky. We saw an entire All-Star team forming in Brooklyn. Do you know how much the Knicks would love to be in that seat? But they've been trying to recruit players and trying to recruit players and trying to recruit players, and it just hasn't come about. And all of a sudden, Brooklyn shows up. You add Kyrie, you add KD, and then you add James Harden, and then you add LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin. And now all of a sudden, you got a superpower. That wasn't Brooklyn's original formula. It just happened to work out that way. Brooklyn's getting lucky. Now, ownership can be out front and can draw attention to the franchise, and they can put their franchise and make that franchise a brand name. Look at Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is always out here. He's on Shark Tank. He's outspoken for players' rights. He's outspoken for civil rights. He's out here. He runs a first-class unit. But after that one championship, you would have assumed that Dallas would do whatever it takes to stay on top. You would assume that Dallas would try to be a cornerstone franchise from here on out because they have the tools. You have Mark Cuban, who's an owner. He's not cheap. And he's for the players. It sounds like a guy who players would go out and say, man, I'm going to Dallas. Dallas is a decent place. He got a good pickup in terms of draft picks with Luka Doncic. Luka's an all-star, hell of a player. But it hasn't worked out. OKC, they seem to have pretty good ownership. They seem to have a pretty good front office. But no one wants to be there. Paul George couldn't pack his shit up fast enough to go to LA. No one wants to be there. This is a franchise that started out originally with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. They have none of them now. You have to be lucky. Indiana seems to have been stuck in the same place for about 30 damn years. They haven't been lucky. They've had some good draft picks in the past. They've had some good players traded to the Pacers. They haven't been lucky enough to keep them. Golden State got lucky. Golden State got lucky when they drafted Steph Curry. Because let's be honest, no one saw Steph Curry being this guy. He had some good games at Davidson, but he was playing for Davidson. No one saw him being this guy. They got lucky with Draymond. I don't think Draymond works on a bunch of different teams. They got lucky with Klay. Klay would work everywhere. But they got lucky with that whole mix. And then you get lucky enough to add Kevin Durant to that mix to win more championships. I say that there's no blueprint to this. No one can sit here and tell you if you want to win a championship, you have to go A, B, C, D, E, F. There's no formula. You have to be lucky.
Commissioner Gordon.
Sticking around the NBA, man. It's with sad news that I report that Jamal Murray has torn his ACL in his left knee. He was driving to the basket. I think it was like 50 seconds left. I sat there and I watched it, and it was crazy to see. But he was driving to the basket like it was about a fast break. He planted his foot and then tried to power up off of his left knee to go up for a layup. And immediately you could see the pain in his face as he let the ball go to the ground and clutch his knee. And I was hoping that it was just a hyperextension. He might be out a couple weeks. I was hoping that it was just something that, you know, he twisted a knee or something. But it turns out he tore his ACL. And it basically means that he is going to be out for the remainder of the season. And the Denver Nuggets is a team that a lot of people had picked to say, okay, we're going to turn up this season. and they had him picked to go to the Western Conference Finals. They had Nikola Jokic slated to be the MVP. And now what does that mean for the Denver Nuggets? Well, the Nuggets are currently in fourth in the West. 34-20 record. Less than 20 games left to go. As I mentioned before, the Joker, people have been pushing for him to be MVP. And now, I mean, shit, he's going to have his chance to prove it. Like, you're the 1-2, one of the two in the 1-2 punch is down. And so now the team is going to lean on you heavy. And you're going to have to show that you can put this team on your back. And if you can, you know, make this thing shake for the next 20 games or so, more or less, then you'll make a compelling argument for that MVP case. But personally, in my personal opinion, no matter what they do, I'm going out, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb totally, but I'm going out a little bit on this branch to say that I don't see Denver making it out of the first round now. I mean, this goes back to the whole luck thing I was just talking about. Like, injuries happen, and they're unfortunate. That's why I say you have to be lucky. But currently in the West, like I said, Denver's fourth. The Lakers are five. Portland is sixth. Dallas is seventh. Memphis is eighth. San Antonio is nine. Golden State 10, and New Orleans number 11. Now, I mentioned 9, 10, and 11 because, remember, this season, they're having the play-in tournament for the NBA playoffs. And I know you're looking like, what? Because you probably forgot. But what they're doing is they're going to have it to where 7 plays 8 and 9 plays 10. Now, if 10 loses, whoever loses between 9 and 10, they're done. The winner between 9 and 10 will play the loser between 7 and 8. The winner between 7 and 8 will be the 7th seed. And the winner of that second game will be the 8th seed. So let me go through this one more time because I know you're like, what the hell are you talking about? 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10. Whoever wins the 7-8 game is the 7th seed. Whoever loses the 7-8 game plays the winner of 9 and 10 for the 8th seed. You see how I did that? I came back from the other way because I started off at the bottom and I took it from the other end. Yeah. You saw it. but that's why I included Golden State, New Orleans, San Antonio, Memphis. Because those teams are going to be important because those teams are fighting for their playoff lives. No one really wants to be involved in that tangled up spider web that I just told you about. So they're going to be fighting and trying to win every game as it comes down to the bitter end. And you now with an important cog out of the wheel, you're going to have to adjust and come up with a game plan on what you're going to do moving forward so where you don't slip down to 6 and wind up having to play the 3 seed. You don't slip down. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to come up with something to where maybe you can hold that line and you can stay in the 4th seed. But even with that, if everything stays equal to what it is right now, if you're in the 4th seed and the Lakers are the 5th seed, barring that LeBron James and Anthony Davis come back and they're healthy, then like I said earlier, I don't think I'm going out too far on this limb to say you out in the first round. But as I mentioned earlier, it was all looking up just a week ago for Denver. They just did not get lucky.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, I appreciate you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation with me, your host, Commissioner Gordon. I thank you. I thank you for your time. As always, I thank my engineer, my producer, DJ Reese Boogie. I thank my sponsors, Greenwood Whiskey. I thank my sponsors, 323 Custom Apparel. Be sure to go check them out. Check out what they have. They can make something custom for you, have you fresh up in the place. Go to Instagram at 323_custom_apparel. Go to Facebook, 323 Custom Apparel. Check out all the things that they can do. Holler at my guys, and they'll put you in the game too. 323 Custom Apparel. Make your clothing your statement. But once again, I thank you tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I appreciate it. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend, and then tell them to tune in, and then tell them to subscribe, and also check out my YouTube show, The Commissioner Conversation, on YouTube. Check me out on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, at the.commissioner.gordon. Check me out on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. And we can chop it up. Until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.